And I said to myself, well, I've finally learned something in school that's useful. I consider my entire education useless up to that point. And I've told this to big audiences, and I've had people come up and say, you know, I thought the same thing.
Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast, the podcast that's dedicated to providing valuable insights, practical tips, and proven strategies to equip new teachers for success. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, educator, published author, and instructional coach. Join me in each episode as we offer a supportive platform for navigating the challenges of the teaching profession. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing why schools don't do skills education well with our guest, Dr. Bill Copeland. Before we get into today's topic, I'd like to take a moment to share a little bit about today's special guest. Bill Copeland is founder and professor of the highly successful undergraduate policy studies major at Syracuse University, which has more than 200 majors annually. He is the Laura J. and L. Douglas Meredith Professor for Teaching Excellence at the Maxwell School and College of Arts and Sciences at Syracuse University. An author of 110 books and articles, many of which are in education, he has taught and advised tens of thousands of undergraduates over his 50-plus years of teaching. He also has trained more than 1,000 high school teachers, 100-plus of which offer his freshman course in high school. Bill Copeland's mission is to equip students with the practical skills they need to have career success while leaving society better than they found it. His Skills Win program seeks to improve education throughout the United States. Copeland's mantra, skills to do well and do good, has motivated generations of Syracuse University alumni to tackle 21st century challenges. Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about why schools don't do skills education well with our special guest, Dr. Bill Copeland. Welcome back to the show, Bill.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here. We always have fun.
Absolutely. Hey, Bill, I would like you, if you would, take a moment to share your passion about skills education in schools today.
Okay. Well, I as a student going through school, I could never figure out why I'm learning all this stuff. And I know there was some attempt to give me skills, but the skills that the schools push are academic skills, like how do you do footnotes and how do you do research. I mean, today it's a little better. There's pretty big movement with SEL and other things to get a little broader, but they're not usually defined as skills. And I think tools, skills is the key to education. At least for me, it was. And I think the majority of people in the world, in America, think they're going to school to learn how to have a happy and productive life, to do well and do good. And then they're given esoteric math calculations, and they study Shakespeare, which is all could help. But it's the testing, and the message is always about mastering the content. And the skills are secondary. Now, I think teachers do look at skills. Oh, he can't write. We're going to help him write. But that's so poorly defined. I don't think they don't have a really structured way to evaluate it. So I think that our whole let me give a specific illustration.
Sure.
When I was in the ninth grade, I had a typing class. When I finished the typing class, I was up to 60 words a minute. And I said to myself, well, I finally learned something in school that's useful. I consider my entire education useless up to that point. And I've told this to big audiences, and I've had people come up and say, you know, I thought the same thing. And to illustrate, so that typing is a really concrete way of saying it, but there are some things you have to know how to do to get along in a real world. And a big thing, of course, is getting along with people. which involves a lot of different experiences and training. But as the system isn't set up for that. It's getting better. It's getting better. But we're not close to where it needs to be.
Yeah. You know, Bill, to kind of piggyback off of what you said, you know, when I was in school and even in elementary school, I found myself saying, where am I ever going to use this outside the walls of this classroom? You know what I mean? And yeah, I could relate to that, you know, and this was me back in like fourth and fifth grade, you know, thinking, where am I ever going to use this? You know, but you know, they were the teachers. So, you know,
but, I mean, human beings are tool seeking people. They seek tools. That's nature of being human, is seeking tools to make things better. And when you get into schools, that's hidden. Or maybe it's just assumed and we don't have to talk about it. I don't know, but it's not good.
Well, this leads me to what I want to kick off our discussion. What are the key differences then, Bill, between traditional academic education and a skills-based education? You know, the differences, primarily.
The primary difference is that practice time on task, is the most important variable, not even the quality of how you perform. That's also important, but time on task is the most important. The problems with the school systems are they don't have a lot of time. They have one teacher for 30 kids, and practice requires coaching. And so what, the teacher's going to run around the room and like help each kid, or how's this going to happen? There's a manpower shortage. And to correct, when the schools were small and little one schoolhouse, and the teacher probably took care of a lot of the skill stuff because he could do it one-on-one or one-on-three, not one-on-30.
Yeah.
And then, so what happened was, what I call the trinity of reading, listening to lectures, and tests became the operation model. Well, that is not a good way to teach skills, and especially when it's tied to grades, because the performance on the test becomes the measure of success. And we all know that you can do very well on a test and you won't remember a thing the next day. I mean, people can't even remember the names of the courses they took. Yet, this is in college. And yet, same thing for high school. And they can't even remember the name, let alone some factual thing. And so, what is the purpose here? So, what we want is students that can problem solve. It's called critical thinking, which I don't like that word, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. Problem solve. Answering questions, asking questions, finding information is huge. Mm-hmm. And those skills can only be developed through practice. And it also requires engagement. Mm-hmm. So the student is like you were in the fourth grade, wondering why you're even doing this. And then the answer becomes, because I want to pass and get a good grade.
Yeah. But
that's why you're doing it.
Yeah, I know. And that shouldn't be why you're doing it. I wouldn't think to pass.
Exactly.
The test.
And it also, I mean, I don't want to get Marxist here, but it also then leads into hyper competition for ranking and all this other stuff, because it's going to make you more money. Mm-hmm. And that's extrinsic rewards that are not intrinsic desires.
Yeah.
And ideally you want students to want
absolutely
to engage.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. Now, in your opinion, what systemic barriers prevent schools from prioritizing skills-based education into the curriculum, you know?
First of all, the teachers are very poorly prepared to teach skills. And by the way, the word, I don't even like the word teach, because that implies content and mastery. I like the word coach, skills. Mm-hmm. So they're taught to be teachers, which leads you quickly to, they say stuff, and therefore the student will repeat what they say, or the student will read stuff and repeat it. That's pretty trivial memorization. And, you know, everybody will say, well, no, that's not what we're doing, make really think. Well, their definition of thinking is saying two scholars disagree over X. That's thinking. Well, that's thinking about scholarship, which is not really the center of anybody's real life outside of, unless they're professors, which is so the teachers are trained that way. Then they go and they see the standards, and we've done studies of standards, and they're almost always content. We did a study of New York State ELA standards, and 80% of the skills, I have 10 skill sets, 80% of those were nowhere in the standards. The standards were, you know, perform this math operation, or critique Shakespeare, or whatever the standards were, were very scholarly, elitist, and 80% of the kids aren't really interested in that or even capable of doing that. But then that becomes a standard, whether they graduate high school and what their grades are and college they get into and all this other stuff. So there's overwhelming pressure to get grades. And grades are not a good measure. To me, a good measure is the student actively participating for enough time and trying to get better? That should be the standard, which creates my view. It creates a problem for me in grading. But I don't, it's the only way to go, in my opinion, if you're going to do skills. And by the way, you don't have to do 100% skills. You can do 20% skills, you know? And so the teachers are not ready, trained that way. Although they'll learn about, they'll be taught, you should do process things. You should do project management. You should do this and this and this. And you should engage the students. And you should give them inductive work. And there's all these things.
Yeah.
Some of which will be much better producing skills, but nobody really knows what they are and how you're going to fill up the class period.
Yeah.
That's another thing. They got to fill up the class period, and they think running their mouths is the way to fill up the class period, right? And meanwhile, the kids want to like shoot themselves. So I don't know. It's just, so there's this whole framework and it's institutionalized. And then the mechanisms for change in education are ineffective, inefficient. First of all, some of the changes come from professors on, like math professors or social studies, who are scholars, who define the stuff as mastering content, or they'll use vague terms like critical thinking, which I refuse to use because it's not critical thinking if you use the word critical thinking, because we don't even know what it means. I like to say it either means problem solving or asking and answering the right question. That's my definition of critical thinking. But their definition is varies by discipline also. So an English lit professor, I got into a dialogue with him. He's saying, well, you don't promote critical thinking. And I said, well, what's critical thinking? And he said, basically, he said, being a critic of a piece of literature. Well, to me, a literary critic is critical thinking. And so their mind is just at a different level. Then you have all the consulting bandits running around making millions and millions of dollars, where the system requires that they produce stuff, that you get stuff. So you improve the content of your course. Or there's one that's selling really good videos that will increase engagement. like, I don't think so. I mean, what are you talking about? What are you going to do? The only way you can have engagement is to make kids do stuff.
Yeah, right.
That's the only way you can get it. And that's where skills comes in. So the mechanisms for change aren't there. It's a system where there's no maneuverability for the teacher.
Yeah.
And when they have these new models and things, what do? They create a curriculum. Well, there's 2 years of four people's work creating the curriculum. Then will the teachers use the curriculum? Probably not.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get the teachers to change. Also, the teachers feel that they're not doing anything if they're not talking, if they're not presenting content. And so it's just very, very difficult. And added to that is the whole, you know, cells and bells, 40 minutes,
yeah.
change class.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're going to improve your work on an Excel spreadsheet, it could take 2 or 3 hours. What are you doing? So what, and you, I mean, some teachers will and some teachers work, spend the whole time, tell the kids, get on a computer, I'll walk around a room and I'll help you, which is the way you should do Excel. You should not talk more than 1 minute about Excel.
Yeah, yeah.
You should make them do it.
Absolutely.
It goes also into one of the things that really bugs me. I work a lot with career services at the university, and my granddaughter goes, okay, and I asked, did she learn about LinkedIn? She said, yeah, they came in and said we should have a LinkedIn, but I don't know what a LinkedIn is. So I said, well, if it was me, I would have go in there, take out your computers, put in LinkedIn.com,
mm-hmm.
put your name in there, and make a LinkedIn. I wouldn't tell them why it's good, but they think they have to tell them why it's good, which is more of this, more mm-hmm. talking, and doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, and I run a freshman course now that does this. It's amazing. And it's the kids love it.
Good.
They come out of the course having their own LinkedIn, mm-hmm. having their own VMOC reviewed resume, but I don't let people talk about it. You can say a little bit.
Yeah.
And there I do use grades. Either do it or you won't get an A. And okay. I don't care how well you do it.
Yeah. Right.
You just do it. And that's a special situation. So it's the attitude of the teachers, the way they've trained, the cells and bells structure.
Yep.
That prevents skill development.
Are you a teacher who finds yourself drowning in the challenges of classroom management? Do student behaviors leave you feeling overwhelmed and drained at the end of each day? Picture this, a classroom where your students are not just present, but fully engaged, focused, and eager to learn. Say goodbye to classroom management stress and hello to success. The Teacher Rockstar Academy course is meticulously designed to equip you with the tools and strategies needed to skyrocket your effectiveness as a teacher. Curious to know if the Teacher Rockstar Academy course is the missing piece in your teaching journey? If you're ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students, then use the link in the podcast description to learn more about this program.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, because you touched on it about many educators you feel are unprepared to teach these real, you know, real-world skills. Well, what kind of training then, Bill, or professional development would these teachers need to be able to do that, you know?
Okay. First of all, I don't really believe in training unless it's just in time. So I don't want them to go to these webinars and listen to all this stuff. I want them to start doing it. So I'll give you a concrete example. A school district came to me and said, we have this 12th grade course called Citizenship in Action, and the kids hate it, and they're reading Supreme Court cases and all this stuff. And I said, and they said, well, will you design it? And I fell for it. Yeah, and they weren't paying me. But be skilled. So I said, well, the first day of class, you should get up and say, What's wrong with this school? And they say, the cafeteria is saying they're smoking in the bathroom. They're doing this, they're doing that. And then I say, okay, everybody, I'm breaking you in groups, which by the way is key to put kids in teams as many times as you can, because there's all these interpersonal skills they're learning by practicing them, and they don't even know they're learning them.
That's right.
So they'll, each group present a policy for, choose one problem. Let's say smoking in the bathroom, too much smoking in the bathroom. So then they come the next day and they talk about, I don't know, a smoke detector or whatever they propose. And then I say to them, well, you just proposed a policy. And the purpose of people in a democracy is to help shape policies. And you were a stakeholder who's dissatisfied with the condition in society. And you now propose the policy. And your next problem is, how do you get the people in power to accept the policy? So then I put them through that. I teach a whole course this way. I'm teaching a whole course this way next semester. But it could be done.
No, I was going to say, does each group, do you give each group of students a different thing to do? Or is
I usually give them the same.
The same
so they
thing,
have to
but just break
with
them up
each
into
other.
Teams. Okay.
You could give them different ones.
Yeah. I was just kind of curious.
I like to be as simple as possible.
Yeah,
so
it
gets too much. And the kids are completely engaged. They want to stop the smoking in the bathroom, except for the smokers.
Yeah.
But so they're engaged. And I'm also teaching them about the government processes. And then I say, okay, what you guys just went through is what happens at every level, at the city, the state, and the federal government. They get a problem, and they try and do something to fix it, and then the players in charge won't do it. And that's the nature of... Now, I've taught them so much. Now, will they be able to transfer from that example, the school, up? Maybe. Some will and some won't.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can talk to your blue in the face and tell them to transfer, but I don't know if I'm going. And so I run a whole court where they actually, and we've had kids change policies at the schools or learn. We have a great school district superintendent. She right away lets them come to them. And so they want to have a driver's ed summer course offered. So they talk to her, and she says, okay, here's the pros, here's the con. Now, I'm going to let you go in front of the school board. But when you go in front of the school board with this proposal, you should come to me first so you don't embarrass yourself. She wouldn't say it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she's become the teacher. So the community becomes the teacher as far as content goes. The process, the teacher said, here's another example of why teachers have trouble doing this, is the teachers don't understand their most important job is to manage an educational environment. It's not running their mouth. It's not their tests. It's none of that. It's creating an environment which will stimulate kids to improve themselves. And that takes a lot of different kind of work. Like you got to go find an outside somebody to come in. So, but I think they need to think in terms of what's an educational environment that's going to do it, not in terms of, well, what should I tell them so they won't understand this? The word understand is like a joke to me. What do you mean? What does that mean, understand? Would that mean, you know what it means?
Yeah.
It means think the way I do about this. That's what understand is, right? So I don't know if that helps.
Well, you know, in the past, Bill, we have talked about, standardized testing and academic performance and all that other good stuff. But how does, academic testing and student performance impact a school's ability, to offer effective skills-based learning opportunities?
It's devastating. It's devastating. I mean, there's a little movement to get rid of the New York State Board of Regents, which would be a good idea. These big tests, they're only testing the it's like a quasi IQ test they're given, plus a memory. So, and there's some people good at that, and there's some people not good at that. It doesn't mean they'll be a better citizen or a more career success. So I think it should be reduced. Too much time is spent on that. And a school district near Buffalo, they're running a month training to make sure the kids can pass the global exam in the summer.
Yeah.
They're making the kids come. That's really bad.
Yeah.
It's just a misuse. And then they wonder why kids drop out of school.
Yeah,
and, I think these standardized tests are really memorizing. Well, what's happening, though, because of AI, all that's getting shot. Kid just puts a question in and gives you the answer.
Yeah, I know.
And so why do I even have to remember when the Declaration of Independence, if I need that, I'll just ask AI. And really, AI is nothing but a Google on steroids.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
They're all having freaking out. What are we going to do?
Then, if that being the case, then what shifts in policy or assessment strategies would help schools better focus on skills education?
I'm starting to work right now, and if you or any other of your listeners have any ideas, mm-hmm. I want to make a ranking system. I hate to use the word ranking, an evaluation system mm-hmm. that has things like internships are available, the ratio of guidance counselors to students is no greater than 250. Have a bunch of basically measures of policies and maybe outcomes. Outcomes harder, mm-hmm. like percent of students who have internships in high school would be a measure. I don't know if we can get there because it'd be too hard to get that measure, but we could have somebody responsible for internships or an internship program. So I first of all, if you're asking me what should the government do and what should I have no confidence in the government.
Yeah.
They don't listen and nobody listens to them. And it's all just a mess. But if we could rank, we're going, you know, a skills win rating of schools in terms of how they prepare kids for the workforce, for citizenship, you know, for life. What if we could get it to have enough prestige and carry, mm-hmm. it could force schools to alter what they're doing. It could reallocate, resources. If the government, the government looks what the government's done about career preparation. They set up these programs all over the country. The programs are poorly run. They have trouble getting staff. They're not hard. They're better than nothing. They're better than nothing. But to try and do it, the key is to motivate principals, to motivate teachers to do the right thing. And now standards do have a role. If the state of New York wants every student to have a community service experience, that would be good.
Yeah.
But then you know what the other problem is? They won't enforce it.
Yeah.
And they'll get. So you want, my view is we want everybody to want to do this. And that also is a problem because a lot of the teachers in the high schools think their subject matter is more important than their students' skill development. Therefore, they don't care. They're going to repeat the history or whatever they do, mm-hmm. Because that's what they did and what we're trained in. So
I
don't know.
Well, what role do like businesses and industry or even local communities play in enhancing skills education in schools?
You know? I think they could play a huge role. I think they can give internships, mm-hmm. which would be apprentice programs. I think they should be in the classes more often.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah.
And I think they should focus on what skills you need to succeed at my business and why my business is fun. So, but it's hardly there.
Well, you know, when I went to school, there was a high school that I went to my senior year. And mm-hmm. I would say it would be skills based to some extent. I mean, they had departments where, you know, if you wanted to be a woodmaker, or a musician, or you wanted to study plants, and they had a great botany program and all that, and automotive, welding, all that stuff. And would you say that would be more skills?
I'm not worried about those kids as much.
Yeah.
As the kids in the general ed who are taking college curriculum and or in the on this train mm-hmm. that doesn't lead them anywhere.
Those
vocational programs, but they've always been underfunded, and they're also for the dumb kids. I don't think they're for the dumb kids. But I think, first of all, parents, what, you want my kid to learn automotive? What good is that going to do when he goes to college?
But, you know, I think we both agree that you know, maybe you need a couple tracks, one go this way, one that way, you know, and every child is probably not going to be destined to go to college, and you know, it's
definitely, and I think
it's a great thing to aspire to, though, but you know, realistically,
in New York State, 20% don't go to college. But the college dropout rate is about 60%.
Oh, gosh.
It's worse than the worst high schools.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But I'm objecting to this kid who's in an international baccalaureate program who the guidance counselors won't let him take a accounting course mm-hmm. or a business course because, well, that's what the dumb kids do. No, you're IB. You're gonna succeed, and it's terrible because it hurts both.
It hurts them both. Yep, if you think about it.
It's an equity question too. So I see it. These are the high performing high schools, but then you have low performing high schools that want to be high performing. Mm-hmm. So let's put money into IB, International Baccalaureate, which makes no sense. Mm-hmm. That program graduates almost nobody. A lot of kids take the courses, but never finish the whole thing. And by the way, colleges don't even know how to give them credit for it. So if you took that and you go to college, you're much better taking the AP, because the colleges will take the AP, even though that's even worse, right? Yeah. That doesn't do anything either. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm talking too much.
No, you're fine. Well, let me ask you this, Bill. What, you know, for new teachers out there and even seasoned ones that we have on, you know, that listen to us, what is your biggest takeaway that you would like to share with our audience?
To focus on the skills that they think the students should have. And my, you know, if you go to BillCopeland.com, you can get there's 38 skills and 10 skill sets, but you don't even need to do that because you know what they are. They're getting along with people. They're gathering information. You know what they are, but not to be scholars, but to function as citizens, as family members, as workers. So I think the teachers, and I see teachers doing that, some very high level, really good content teachers will also worry about the other. So you can do both. We're not saying get rid of it, just make it more. And then the other thing is project-based learning. Make PowerPoints and presentations. Stay away from tests mm-hmm. as much as you can.
As much as possible, yeah.
And also create teams and have the teams compete with each other, because the kids love that. It may motivate them enough to actually pay attention. So I think teachers that have that in their repertoire will be doing more for the kids than teachers who are just performing well as lecturers.
Okay, great. And Bill, one last thing. How can folks connect with you? I know you mentioned your website a minute ago.
They can get me through there. My email is wdcoplin, C-O-P-L-I-N, at syr.edu.
Okay, great. And we'll have your contact information in the description as well. So that'll be great.
And well, I have several books on Amazon. You might want to look at some of them.
Okay. We'll have that information in the description as well. And Bill, as always, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
And I enjoy talking to you.
All right. Well, you have an awesome rest of your day and you take care. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we have come to the end of today's episode. Thanks for listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you got some golden nuggets on why schools don't do skills education well. Don't forget to subscribe to us at the Teacher Rockstar Podcast, and if you'd like to support us, please feel free to share our podcast with others, post about it on social media, leave a rating and review. That would be greatly appreciated as always. Thanks again. We'll see you same time, same place next week. And remember, my friend, you got this.